Hello, nerds. You're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Nerdcore podcast, the podcast reviews movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 178, and it is your kickoff of Documentary Month here at the Nerdcore Podcast. As always, every month we take a specific theme and we choose 5 movies to do. We did our coin toss on Saturday when we did our Captain Marvel predictions. And we are kicking it off today with 13th. It's an Ava DuVernay documentary on Netflix. And as always, is your Nerdy Chicano here to host the show alongside my wonderful co-host who... Oh man, if we would have been recording what we were doing before then. Oh man, we were fucking dying of laughter. But Brad, let's go ahead and do this. We have to be serious today.
Yeah, this is a very serious movie, and those were not very serious tweets that have got us at this level. So we need to calm down.
Yeah. Okay, today we're being serious because we're talking about a very serious movie. But before we can talk about said serious movie, I do want to say that the episode of The Impaired Files is out now. It was out yesterday, but just in case you couldn't listen to it yesterday, it's out now. And I sit down with Daniela Nunez, host of the Lays of Nerdcore podcast and filmmaker herself. And we talk about so many things. And Brad's on the episode of the Lays of Nerdcore today. So go ahead and go listen to that episode as well. They talk about Umbrella Academy and all the other fancy stuff. Plus a little surprise at the end.
Heck yeah, super fun.
Yeah. I'm glad you had fun, Brad. I'm glad you had fun. All right. Yeah, today we got a nice little treat. You know, I thought we would get a Game of Thrones trailer, but we didn't get a Game of Thrones trailer. Instead, we got a bunch of pictures from the EW first look. Really cool photos, just photos. Got some word, though, that Game of Thrones Season 8 is going to include the longest battle in cinema history. And
really?
It's going to include a lot of... it was the first time... since the first season, that there's been a lot of characters on just one scene.
Wow.
And it looks like the Battle of the Dawn is going to be one to remember.
So apparently, I mean, I guess we'll see. Wow. Yeah.
Directed by the man who did, the guy who did Hard Home, the Battle of the Bastards, and all those other great battle and great episodes, Miguel Sapochnik. So, really excited, man. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. We're going to, you know, right as April comes in, we're going to be doing a lot of prep for Game of Thrones. We're going to be talking about theories. We're going to talk about, you know, top 10 stuff. And then the week before the premiere, we're going to do a preview of Season 8. And hopefully by then we have a trailer. Because I've wanted to do predictions, but I'm like, what's the point of doing predictions without having a fucking trailer? So
yeah, because there's nothing we can go off of, really. Yeah,
we have our theories, but... you know, there's nothing that I can use as supporting evidence yet. You know,
I can't
be like, oh, the trailer showed me this, trailer showed me that. I don't know, but we're gonna do a preview the week before April 14th, and it's gonna be a fun time. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. And a battle, the longest battle and the most epic battle in cinema history. Apparently, I didn't think anything could be beat from Return of the King, but damn, looks like we're gonna get it.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be epic, especially the longest one in cinema history. And I'm just thinking all those Civil War movies. I'm just like, it'll be longer than that. Jesus.
Longer than that. At least far more entertaining than that.
Yeah. I mean, guys in gray, guys in blue shooting each other. So I would hope it would be a little more entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we will prepare ourselves for the Battle for the Dawn until April 14th, when Season 8 of Game of Thrones finally drops. And that shall be interesting to say. And we did get one trailer, though, that Mr. David F. Sandberg promised last week. And it is for Shazam. The new trailer dropped. And wow, am I ready for this movie. The humor, everything about this, just, it looks like I'm going to enjoy it so much, man.
In my kind of humor. This is like other guys' humor,
yeah.
I would say.
Zach Levi looks like he's just having so much fun playing him.
I really like the end shot where he tries to jump over the building.
I know.
Sorry, my bad.
Oh yeah, when he's electrocuting the bridge and the car, and then it jumps off, and he's like, "Dude, you just electrocuted a fucking bus off the highway." Goes, "Yeah, but I saved it." I still crack up at the point me in the direction of your finest beer, please. Oh man, you know, it's like, oh, you're welcome for not getting robbed. Oh yeah, this looks really good, guys. This is getting 2 thumbs up from me. I'm very, very excited to see Shazam in April. One more month, dude. One more month. And
so it'll be here before
we even know it, man. Before we even know it. But yeah, now that we've got that out of the way, we have time to finally get into the bread and butter of today's movie. Look, I'm going to approach Documentary Month a little bit different. There is no spoiler warnings whatsoever.
Hey, but before you get into this, you don't want to talk about the new picture?
What new picture?
The new Sonic teaser picture?
No, because I'm going to start laughing. I'm not going to finish laughing. Just go look at Brad's tweets or Jay's tweets at Mr. Jay Washington. Oh, my God. Yeah. Fuck, man. That shit really, like, oh, man. I'm sorry.
Long story short, that picture's horrible of Sonic. So
yeah,
there's really not much. Make your own opinion, but it's not looking good, guys.
No, man. No, I mean, they got, look, man. We got Steven Spielberg over here arguing for Netflix to do. I haven't seen Netflix trying to do that. So like, yeah. It's the least I can say is it's quite interesting, to say the least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, I'm gonna approach Documentary Month a little bit different. Just no spoiler warnings right off the bat, because most of these documentaries have to do with topics that are, you know, either happening in real life, and if you're not paying attention to if you're not paying attention to these things, then I'm sorry, it's not like a movie where it's a created narrative, so
yeah, know. And you're not really gonna get spoiled because this information's already out there.
Yeah. So today, let me go ahead and introduce the documentary that we're going to be talking about. We are going to be talking about 13th on it's a documentary from director Ava DuVernay. It's on Netflix, so let me read this here. 13th is a 2016 American documentary by director Ava DuVernay. The film explores the intersection of race, justice, and mass incarceration in the United States. It is titled after the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which freed the slaves and prohibited slavery, with the exception of slavery as punishment for a crime. DuVernay contends that slavery has been perpetuated in practices since the end of the American Civil War through such actions as criminalizing behavior and enabling police to arrest poor freedmen and force them to work for the state under convict leasing, suppression of African Americans by disenfranchisement, lynchings, and Jim Crow, politicians declaring a war on drugs that weigh more heavily on minority communities. By the late 20th century, mass incarceration of people of color in the United States. She examines the prison industrial complex and the emerging detention industrial complex, demonstrating how much money is being made by corporations from such incarcerations. 13th has garnered acclaim from its critics. It was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature at the 89th Academy Awards and won the Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Documentary or Nonfiction Special at the 69th Primetime Emmy Awards. All right, I want to see what this lost to. This should be interesting. If I remember correctly, I think it was the White Helmets, but I don't remember this. I gotta go all the way down the line here. Yeah, this is the year that fucking La La Land took everything. Basically, took everything. Best foreign language film. Best documentary feature, OJ, Made in America. Okay, and the other nominees were Fire at Sea. I am not sure, word I'm not allowed to say. Life, animated, Life animated. Okay. I've never watched OJ Made in America. Have you, Brad?
No, I have not. I've heard, I believe that's another series, but and when it was out, I kept hearing about it.
Yeah.
Apparently it was that.
Well, this isn't on, let me see if it's, oh shit, it's a long ass fucking movie. Yeah. 467 minutes. Oh, this is a television fucking series, I think. 2016 documentary produced and directed by Ezra Edelman for ESPN Films and the 30 for 30 series. It was released as a five-part miniseries and in theatrical format. The documentary explores race and celebrity through the life of O.J. Simpson. Alright, well, I know the O.J. versus the O.J. Simpson, O.J. versus the people, the United States. I've seen that one. I've heard about that. It was great, but I have never watched this, so I can't really say that it didn't deserve to beat 13th, but yeah. I want to do what we did with Abducted in Plain Sight, Brad. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about, you know, like the whole structure of the documentary, talk about like technicality wise and stuff like that, and what it does well when it's like created, crafted, and then we can actually talk about the content of the film. So like, because what's it called? Like I said, on Abducted in Plain Sight, you know, it's a story that doesn't make us feel good, but that shouldn't dictate what we rate the film.
No, I mean, yeah. that was a well-made documentary, yeah. too. It's yeah. just the whole premise on it was not the best story to have to listen through and walk through.
Yeah. The same thing I'm going to say for this. It's a well-made documentary. Oh, my God. I mean, the people she got to talk to and the whole use of the... of her constantly putting the statistics on the screen and everything and how much the population has changed after years and years and years. Also, every time they said criminal and she would just cut to that, the graphic of it saying criminal, I thought that was fantastic.
Made probably what I've watched. Mm-hmm. And the best thing I think she did in this is she put both sides out there. She had freaking Newt Gingrich and a conservative talk head in this documentary, along with what many people would consider left-leaning talking pundits or left-leaning pundits. So she had she had everyone's thoughts on this, and I think to get a discussion going, and that's the point of a documentary, is you bring up topics that aren't necessarily what everyone wants to talk about, but you force a discussion. And she did that very well.
I she does that so well, and it's amazingly crafted, the use of music, especially as you see it progress. Like the first piece of music is like Motown, I mean like type of old school type of music, and then it just slowly progresses and she brings in like Public Enemy and all these rap artists, and it's just amazingly crafted, showing how much the world has changed, and it's with it it's this constant of the whole prison and just all these factors that factor into it, and jail time and everything like that. And it's just amazingly crafted. I mean, I'm a big fan of Ava DuVernay. I loved Selma, one of my favorites from her. But honestly, I'm going to go as far to say that this one's the best film that she's done. This is so, so well crafted, and just, it looks like she took so much of her time with it too.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely went through and she found details that I would imagine are very hard to find. Mm-hmm. Like the whole, that whole story on Alec, never heard about that.
No, me
neither.
And
how it's just a group of corporations who get together and they try to force their will and their money towards getting something through Congress that will end up getting them money back. And it seems very backwards on how our shit is run.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the statistics that she used in here. Because...
And I think she did well in showing, okay, so you had slavery, and then that got abolished. But at that same time, they really ramped up criminality, or calling them criminals.
Yeah.
And then ending up forcing basically them back into slavery.
Yeah.
through the penal system.
It's just it's what's it called? It's amazingly the way that she crafted the narrative to show that, like, I'm gonna show you exactly how this country basically warped and was able to create this sense of looking at this group of people as subhuman, so that way they can justify this industrial complex that we have now.
Well, and I think it kind of leads into the future. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at what happened, because with Black Lives Matter, you're having a movement where I think they are going to make headway into causing those numbers to come down for, mm-hmm. you know, black people in prison.
Yeah.
But you look into the future and you see what's happening to the illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And I'm just after watching this, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking they're going to pass a law that basically incarcerates people from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Instead
and she
of
touches on that.
The American public.
And she touches about that a little bit in the film. She's talking about, you know, these quote unquote detention centers, which is just a fancy word for immigration prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where I really think she does a great job, because it got me even thinking, you know, okay, I see what's happening. If they can't incarcerate their own people, they're going to go incarcerate other countries' people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And get the free labor that way.
Yeah. So, yeah, I now just segue to us into the content. I mean, it is really crafted in the way where it's taking you through the years. So you start off at the end of the Civil War, and it mentions the way that they would start, you know, warping the sentiments of the people, how they believed they should look at the African American population in the especially in the South. And she brought up the example of Birth of a Nation, which nobody knows what Birth of a Nation is. You saw a little bit of it if you watched Black Klansman. At the end, it does give you a little bit of it, of a Birth of a Nation.
I never knew that movie was the reason the Ku Klux Klan used the burning cross. Mm-hmm. I always thought that was a Ku Klux Klan thing. I didn't know they took it from a movie.
Yeah. I was going to say something. Yeah, that movie's fucking racist as hell. Extremely freaking racist. Like, you don't have to be on either side of the spectrum, left or right, to know that that shit is fucking racist as fuck, dude. Movie's... And sadly, the only reason that film theorists look at the movie a lot is because it introduced a lot of the camera techniques that are used now in modern cinema. But I would think that a lot of the film students that I come up with kind of agree that the movie is fucking terrible. It's a racist-ass movie. But the only reason it's revered and taught is because it introduced all these camera movements that we use now, and, like, the close-up angles and the fucking pannings and shit like that.
And one thing the movie did harm in is it really ramped up the Ku Klux Klan and made them to be like this heroic group, which we all know is total opposite. They're just racist dickheads.
Yeah. And it's also it tells the what's it called? The little short story of it, but it gives the famous thing of Woodrow Wilson watching the film and saying that this was, like, you know, history, and like revering it like as the greatest movie that he's ever watched at the time. So then we move on from the Civil War, and we talk about, you know, the 13th Amendment. You know, it's very interesting to see this, because I do not remember actually being told about that last part, you know, where, I'm sorry, let me go ahead and get the actual quote of it right here from the wiki site that the film says. What's it called? The 13th Amendment, that it says, hold up, why is it doing this? Which freed the slaves and prohibited slavery with the exception of slavery as punishment for a crime. So, you know, it says, like, you have no
rights when you're in prison.
You have freedom until you are convicted of a crime and put into prison. And, that was, look, I mean, this this, what's it called, whether your thoughts or not, I mean, you, whether where you place on the spectrum or not, the modern prison industrial complex is 100% slavery. It is crazy the way that the criminals are treated. You know, yeah, there's motherfuckers in there that deserve it. You know, like, what's it called? Murderers and rapists, convicted rapists and murderers that actually did the shit.
And, but, you know, my feeling is some of them kind of need a fast lane over to being gone out of the prison. Yeah. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. And, but there's also, she brings up a lot of really, really good examples. You know, she brings up the war on drugs and everything, which, like, we've always talked about this, Brad. You know, we, like, I think we said on the last, one of the episodes where, with the abducted in plain sight, then, like, he got off after, like, a couple of months.
Like, what the hell? And
you catch a black dude, with a little bit of weed, and he gets, like, up to life.
Well, not even, I mean, I thought it was a great segment where she on and had Newt Gingrich say they made a mistake. They should have charged those found in possession of cocaine the same as they charged those in possession of crack cocaine. And it was great that she was able to get him to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, because let's face it, crack cocaine became an epidemic in the cities.
Yeah.
In the urban cities.
Yeah.
And cocaine
it was the white man's drug.
Classier drug. Yeah, it was an epidemic in the suburbs.
Yeah, that was the rich white man's drug.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it called? And it was, you know, and we said it, you know, white dude gets caught with a little bit of weed in his pocket and gets a shit ton of years. And so the war on drugs was a complete and utter failure, an absolute failure. And she even points out, you know, you know, the fact that we weren't sending people to be rehabilitated. We sent them to jail, and then after that, they're basically, you know, made to figure the shit out. Instead, we should be rehabilitating them and getting to the core problem of drug abuse instead of treating it as a crime problem when it's actually a health problem.
And let's face it, a lot of those guys were sent away for what would be considered now minor drug offenses.
Yeah, like a misdemeanor.
You said, a little bit of weed.
Yeah.
Like, they sent them out for 10 years. And you see, it's just this industrial complex of just these corporations wanting to make money.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was really interesting when she brought up, like, you know, and then when she gets to private prisons and Alec and all these, she even touches on SB 170. That's the 1070. Was that the name of it? The blog, the one SB from Arizona.
1070. Yeah.
1070. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to go, like, all over the place because I want to kind of flow through what the stuff that she talked about. And so, like, you know, when it wasn't so I'm going back to the slavery thing. So, like, when it wasn't legal to actually have them as slaves, they brought in the era of Jim Crow to kind of hold them down more. You know, all these things led to the creation of the prison, the industrial complex that we have now. And, the civil rights movement came up as opposition for it. And something that's just like, you know, trying to protest would land you in jail, you know. Completely off topic, but I talked with one of, it's not part of the civil rights movement, but it was part of the Chicano movement, which was the civil rights movement for Mexican Americans and Latinos in the United States. I talked to Jose Angel Gutierrez, one of the biggest members of that whole movement. And yeah, he told him that he had gotten arrested. I can't remember the amount of times, but it was a lot of times, and that every single one of them, except for one time, was for civil disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the only one time that he got arrested for an actual crime was for stealing an orange, I think. He stole an orange, and that was the one time he went to jail, and that's it. But the other times were for civil disobedience, just protesting. So, you know, it was interesting to see, you know, in the way that these politicians and the movies they were watching that were able to, you know, warp the mind to make these people think that, hey, they deserve it for being this way. And, you know, it's because they're breaking the law. And if you break the law, then this is what happens. And she even brings up the it's very insightful what she brings up, that it was even brainwashing to the black community, that the black community started to to believe it too.
Agree with it. I agree with a lot of these years that to me just seem outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years getting caught with a little bit of weed. Like really?
It's crazy, man. Yeah, like,
and then these corporations be making these laws, like the first strike law, which, mm-hmm. you know, and then there was another one they made that was just sounded like they actually got the shit passed.
Yeah.
And it's just a rotating scheme for them to make money.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so the big part that she moves on to is the mass incarcerations, whereas that stuff that you're talking about comes into big play. You know, now we have private prisons and basically making money off having quotas of amount of criminals that they need to put in there. And it's absolutely and you know, I love the way that the interviewers put it. You know, this isn't your normal. This is a place created to dehumanize these people and completely strip them of their humanity. So that way, when they get out, they're not the same person they were when they got in. Well,
and the thing is, what ends up happening, and you see it all the time, is once they get out, they don't know how to adapt back into society.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go back to their safe place, which is prison.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's no programs put in place to reassimilate them into society. There's just... You're out of those doors, and that's it. You're back into the world, and it's absolutely outrageous. One other thing, what was interesting was that one corporation that was the food supplier that was found with maggots in the food. Oh my God, that's gross. And how the telephone services from that one corporation as well that would provide the services at very, very high rates.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen what these guys, because at my job, we do work with some of the prisoners. They do help out on our yards and all that. If you see what they feed them, I mean, it is not good meals. It's like a bologna sandwich that I probably wouldn't feed to my dog.
Yeah.
So it's that bad. And that's what happens when you get for-profit prisons.
Mm-hmm. And all of these, you know, and then she, you know, I'll go into this part until we go into the last part. The last part is the one that really broke my heart. Every time I see those videos, it breaks my heart. I was crying at the end. But the part that these prisons are the ones that are making, you know, the chairs, the clothes for all these companies that you buy from, that these prisoners are actually the ones who are making it, and they're not getting a cent of it back. And, you know, after...
If they make maybe 50 cents to $1.50.
Mm-hmm. And... They once the companies got cowed out on it and they got caught on it, that's when they started to cut ties with these private prisons that were making them do this.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And so the last part that she touches on is the thing that I've always told people, and I think we touched on this with the Black Klansman review with Luis, or is something I forgot to say, but there's two ways this goes when you're stopped. You can either go to prison or you get killed. And she talks about, what's it called, police brutality and the countless amounts of black lives that get killed. And, there's just a special place in hell for a person who's able to open fire on a child. On a fucking defenseless child who won't do a single thing to you. And she obviously starts with one of the most famous cases was Trayvon Martin. And... Mm-hmm. She goes on to other ones, Philando Castile, Tamir Rice, which was the kid. And this part is the one that broke my heart. Every time I see those videos, the first time I saw those videos, I don't get desensitized to it. I was crying. I was like, this shit just ain't right, man. It just isn't fucking right.
And I think her bringing up, I believe it was in this one, but the plea deals.
Yeah.
And how most all these guys who get caught, they just take a plea deal. They never even bring it to trial.
Yeah.
And they showed the one guy who brought it to trial. And this one really broke my heart.
Yeah.
You have the one guy who brought it to trial, and then he was left waiting for trial for 6 years.
Yeah.
And they dropped the charges.
Yeah. And the one who didn't take the plea deal, and he ended up killing himself after.
Yeah, because after 6 years, he could not deal with society.
Yeah. Man, this shit just ain't right, man. We gotta change the way that this shit works, like, you know. And then, sadly, you know, these motherfuckers get away with it for basically murdering people, unarmed people. And they take paid leave or shit like that. And it's crazy, man. It's shit that shouldn't go, you know. And one of the ones that I remember the first time I saw that video was of the... can't remember his name, but the one who kept saying that he couldn't breathe and he couldn't breathe. And like,
Michael, you know, Brown?
Yeah, Michael Brown, yeah. It's absolutely outrageous, man. It's outrageous, and, you know, the content put in this film is very, very heartbreaking and very eye-opening, but it's conversations that need to be had.
Yeah, and that's what makes a good documentary, is it brings up conversations that most people don't want to have or are too afraid to have. And this one does it well. This brings up discussion, as it should.
Yeah. And it's an intense documentary, one that I recommend everybody to watch. Luis watched it first, and he said it was amazing. I don't know why I took so long to watch it. Well, I mean, I watch a lot of things, and I can never really... I never get to everything that I want to watch, but I'm glad that I chose this one first. And
but it was really amazing just to see how the tactics really haven't changed since the Civil War by the politicians. They just control people with fear, and then they control everyone else in the prisons.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking. That was that part in the one of the guy who killed himself after. Those were two parts that actually made me cry. And I just
couldn't believe, you know, he for no reason he was brought in and charged, and he wouldn't take the plea deal. And it's like they punished him because he wouldn't take the plea deal to charges that he was not guilty of.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made him sit there for 6 years in a prison where he was attacked apparently daily.
Yeah. And it fucked with his mental health too, and where he was just starting to like get out of control. She also touches on solitary confinement. Oh man, that
with no windows.
With no windows.
That is not good for the psyche.
No, it's absolutely crazy the lengths that humans themselves would treat other humans, and just how. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, 2019, I look at this, and I'm like, why is something so minuscule as the color of someone's skin is enough for you to hate them? Like, it's inconceivable in my head. But then it's even more inconceivable that another human could say, yeah, I'm going to lock you in this closet, basically a closet, with nothing to do instead of just being there by yourself, with a guard in the back who's never going to talk to you for anything. It's crazy, man. But I mean, we started this month off with a crazy good one. I think this is the first time I actually start a month with a 10. But this gets a 100% a 10 out of 10. If I could give it even more than a 10, I would.
I mean, definitely a great, great storytelling movie. I don't know how better I can put it other than this movie goes into great detail and starts discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a great documentary because that is what a documentary is meant to do. Yeah. So I agree. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. It's on Netflix, guys. It's 100 minutes, 60. So it's an hour and 40 minutes. It's a very, very good movie. You should watch it. It's one that, you know, you should watch. And, forgot to mention it was released in 2016, in September 30th, 2016, at New York Film Festival, and in October 7th, 2016. It had a budget of $1 million, and it only made $566 in the UK dollars for the box office because it was released theatrically there. But other than that, we don't know what it made on Netflix, but I'm pretty sure it made a lot because, you know, it was, yeah.
But does it...
Hmm?
Does it really matter what it means?
No, it doesn't really matter. I just, you know, I always...
Yeah, you always bring up the box. I'm just saying for this one, I don't think I could give a rat's ass that if it made $2 because It's a great film that everyone needs to watch.
These are the films that we learn from. You know, these are the ones that will be taught later on in years. And if this this isn't enough evidence that we need to do an Ava DuVernay month, then I don't know what is. But yeah, she's an amazing director, and this is one of her this is her best work to me. So yeah, I mean, Brad, anything else about the documentary we'll say before we do the housekeeping?
No, I just hope people watch it and they look at what's happening right now. Because mm-hmm. I can guarantee if they decrease those locked up in our prisons of Americans, mm-hmm. they are going to increase it in some other form.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Also, forgot to mention, she talks a little bit about the Central Park Five. And she brings up the thing about, you know, that Donald Trump wanted the death penalty for these kids. And she is going to be talking about that in her miniseries, the Central Park 5, on the Central Park 5. So for sure we'll be talking about that once that comes out in May. But yeah, she talked about that a little bit in the film.
Guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. So other than that, guys, that was the... That was 13th documentary by Ava DuVernay. I want to thank you all so much for listening to the podcast. You know, guys, this is how it's going to get. You know, documentaries usually touch on very real subjects. And, you know, some of these documentaries might make us smile. Some of these might make us sad. And some of these might make us angry. But there is no other genre unlike documentary. So it's very interesting that we're doing a whole month on this. Brad, the next one is your first pick. It is...
Jim and Andy, I believe.
Jim and Andy. Oh, that's really interesting. That one's... Well, now looking at it, it's kind of sad because Milos Forman is dead. He was the one who directed Amadeus. But, you know, it's really interesting to see how devoted someone is to their art. To the point where they're able to actually become the character. So
yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, so that'll be next week, guys. But for now, thank you all for listening. Excuse me. Sorry, I do not want to burp into the microphone. Make sure you leave a rating and review on your podcast app of choice. And leave a 5-star review on iTunes. In the review, make sure you put your social media handle and I'll read it out loud for some free promotion, guys. Follow us on Twitter @TheNerdCore_, Instagram @TheNerdCore, Facebook page, The Nerdcore Pods. Make sure you also take a look at the tiers on the Patreon at patreon.com/TheNerdCore, The Nerdcore, CORPS, guys, not CORE, CORPS. Shout out to all our Patreon supporters when we're talking about that, you know, they're awesome people, they make these shows happen, but most importantly, shout out to our executive Patreon producer, Grayson Barker @GraysonBarker98 on Instagram or TheHitman98 on Twitter. Thank you so much, man, for being wonderful and being the absolute best Patreon supporter in the world. So, you know, shout out to you for being the best. And he gets pins and stickers as they're made alongside a postcard from us here at the Nerdcore. So thank you so much for supporting the podcast, Grayson. We are going to, we'll repay you one day, man. Because it's amazing that I'm still not able to register that somebody's paying $15 a month to us. So thank you so much for your generosity, man. But on the other hand, it's time for me to say goodbye. I need to check what we are doing tomorrow, though. I believe we are doing predictions, a discussion, I think. I have no idea. This is what happens when I don't open the podcast schedule. But yeah, between a very serious topic, I didn't really want to interrupt with that stuff. And not just that, but the fucking Sonic the Hedgehog picture, man. Yeah. Okay, so it looks like we're going to have a discussion tomorrow. And yeah, and then on Thursday, guys, we'll be reviewing True Detective Season 3 for you all. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. Brad, send them into the podcast void.
All right, Raul. Thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We truly appreciate you. And I guess I'll just leave off with saying love one another. Young Yoda out.